Hey, so first of all, welcome back to everybody. I see some of our regulars. I see actually a couple of new faces on, so a couple of new names on, so we are so excited. I see even some Tamidim from days gone by, even perhaps. So it's always a pleasure to have everybody back and joining us for our official opening of June's night. As we spoke a little bit before the end of the regular Zman, we're going to try to accomplish in June's Zman as almost multiple different goals. Our first and foremost goal is to be to learn the Ian Rav and hopefully be Ma'amik and the Sugyas of the second part of Kol HaBosar, following, of course, the last 10 months of Eshurim. And again, those who are a couple of new people on, we'll try to catch you up really, really quickly in terms of some of the Yisodos that are necessary. So again, that's obviously going to be our main thrust. Those who are able to prepare for Shurim, the promos, that's wonderful. You know, those who, for whatever reason, are not able to, but just want to join for Shias, that's also great. And again, we'll try to keep everybody, as much connected as we can. We're also going to take the opportunity, since it's a little bit of a lighter Zman, so we'll take the opportunity to try to fill in here and there, little, almost supplement with some different chizuks and shoka. Are you coordinating the muting or I am? Can you? Okay, great. Okay, good. So we'll try to supplement a little bit of some other topics as well. We'll try to do is today, towards the end of the year, the last couple of minutes, we'll try to give a little bit of a chizuk related to some things, specifically June's man sugyas, and particularly related to the days immediately following Shavuot. So we'll try to do that the last couple of minutes of Shia today. But let's start off really in terms of the longest start, in terms of the actual main thrust that I'll leave with for the next year, the next couple of weeks. So we're going to, believe it or not, go back to a topic that we thought we made a seum on back in October, or maybe in February. We probably the last words we thought we were going to hear were Chaticha Nasas Nevela, or it's a cousin, or we'll see as the second develops, it's how close a cousin it is, Epshel Sochta. But believe it or not, we have to go back to the Aleph Beis of some of the things we've been talking about. So we will very, very quickly catch up those people who are joining us for the first time in terms of the series of Chulin. So let's start off the very beginning. Chulin Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. Now, when I say the very beginning, if I'm not mistaken, I think we actually read these couple lines on the very first day of Shir, back in August. Many things have changed in our lives since August, but Tadichlas the Bible hasn't changed all that much. Let's try to get put ourselves back into the mindset of Chuluk of Chesed and Aleph, where we left off at the end of the previous man, and try to begin to reacquaint ourselves with some of those sugyas, but to begin to take a new look, a fresh look at some of these sugyas of this Zman. So the Gemara begins on the first of the Marmakomas of On Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, and the Gemara is really coming off of the Mishnah. So I didn't even put the Mishnah in the Marmakomas, I probably should have, but we'll just quickly recap the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that if I have a piece of meat that is cooking, and a tipas cholov, and a drop of milk falls onto that piece of meat. So that is, of course, a potential boss of a cholov problem. So the Mishnah tells us it depends. Is there no same ta'am, or is there not no same ta'am? So if the milk is no same ta'am into the chaticha, that's a big, big problem. So then I have a bas b'chol, potentially a bas b'chol deraisa question on my hand. If it's such an insignificant amount of milk, then I could just ignore it and say, come on, either the goy won't be able to taste the milk, or it's going to be both b'shish, whatever you do, discern whether you have ta'am or not. So then the Mishnah says, then you're good to go. But in the case that you're not good to go is the no same ta'am a chaticha. So to that background, that Rav makes the following observation. First of all, comes Amarav. Kevin shenosan tam bechaticha, chaticha atzba naseis nevela, yoseres kol chatichas kul pnei sheinina. That once that first piece of meat became awesome, once there was sufficient time in the milk to give off taste into the meat, so now all of a sudden hocus pocus happens. Now the world changes. We declare that piece of meat itself is problematic, is treif, to the following extent. There is a famous view of Rabbi Yehud, which Rav happens to subscribe to, called min b'mino ein abotel. Whenever you're dealing with two similar kinds of things, now again, how do you define similar? It's a whole other topic. How do Rabbi Yehud know this? That's another topic. These are all things we spoke about in the past. For our purposes, just take it on faith. Rabbi Yehud says min b'mino ein abotel, and therefore, once the piece of this meat, once this meat became treif, once the chaticha, the original chaticha became labeled as treif because of Bas B'cholov, we now view all the bleos, all the taste that's emanating from this piece of meat into the other piece of meat. There are 20 other pieces of meat in this bat. There may be 10,000 other pieces of meat in this bat. Says Rabbi Huda and says Rav, the game is over. Everything is treif in the Torah. Why? Because once that first piece of meat became treif, so now it's treif of meat. And when that meat spreads its taste into the other pieces of meat, it's over because mibbe made a bottle. Now, obviously, Rabbi Huda is making a tremendous assumption. I'm sorry, Rav is making a tremendous assumption. He's assuming that when we treifed up that first piece of meat, when we declared that first piece of meat to be osur and osbos b'cholov, the name of that isur is now the bosur shabbat. The chaticha itself is treif. The name of the isur is not just the milk shabbat, but the name of the isur is the meat shabbat, the bosur shabbat. And that's what the din of mimimino in a bottle kicks in. If Rav would not have subscribed to what I just said, if Rav would have said, great, I can't eat the first piece of meat because it's got chalav in it, if the name of the first piece of meat isur was the chalav shabbat, then that would be absurd to talk about mimimino in a bottle. So Rav is presupposing that that first piece of meat, the bosa shabbat became osur, and now that the bosa shabbat became osur, now we can kick in the din of mimimino in a bottle. So that's clear as day from day one. So Rabbi say, let's stop for a moment. Let's stop and analyze that very statement. So yadua mafursom that the fundamental chakira as to literally how to teach a poskim chumash, literally how to learn the ABCs of Bas B'chol. We spoke about it almost around the topic so many times, but let's get to the heart and core of it right now. The voice says, Shteit the chumash, lo sevashul gedi b'cholimimah, and comes to Tosh Mapem, tells us, not only is there an isabishul, there's an israchil, there's an israhana. So I have basar, shenisvashul b'cholav, I am not allowed to eat it. There's no question that the rights of Chaymalkus if I eat that basa b'chol. But I want to know, tell me exactly what the name of the Isser is. What's the gedder of Isser? Yesh lachbar, one can understand the gedder Isser one or two ways. Either one can understand that the eating of a halachic ta'arevis of basa b'chol is a problem. It means the name of the Yisr is the eating, the consuming of a bas b'cholov together. That's the name of the game. Now, truth to be told, not every way of creating a tarobes will result in bas b'cholov deraisa. So the Torah throws another word at me, another condition called derech bishul. So I have to redefine that side of the hakira for a moment. Whenever I have basar and cholov, shen is bashlu biyachad, wait, not enough just to say this bashul biyachad. That's also the calm of cholav going into that basar. It may have been basar b'chol shel bashul biyachad, but it was such an insignificant amount of cholav. So that, I think those famous words should reverberate in their minds, derech bishul asa Torah, because with such an insignificant amount, so people don't cook insignificant amounts. So I'm still on the first side of the chakira. I didn't even get to part two yet. So the first side of the chakira is, you're not allowed to partake basar b'cholav together, shenis arvu yachad, ayadei bishul, which is enough milk to be labeled as derech bishul, which is measured by the measuring stick of ta'am. If that model was reached, if those conditions were fulfilled, then al zeh nema b'toira, lo sochal, just kidding, but lo sochal, basar b'cholav b'yachad. But if I want to know, bottom line, after I met all those conditions, what's the Isser? What's the Chavtza Shal Isser? The Chavtza Shal Isser is the Bosa B'chala B'yachad. That's one way of understanding it. So it's an Achilas Bosa B'chala B'yachad, assuming that I accomplished that B'yachad, meeting all those preconditions. Or maybe not. That's not the name of the Isser B'chal. Lo Sevashal Gedi B'chala B'yachad. It's an Isser Achilas Bosa. There's an Isser Achilas beside Nevela, and there's an Isser Achilas beside Tarefa, and there's an Isser Achilas Basar Tanea. There are so many different Isser Basar in Halacha. If you have a piece of meat that underwent a Bishul Bechalov, meeting all the exact same criteria that we spoke about, namely It has to be derech bishul, and it's got to be with a nice intam. It's got to be bishul, maybe not tzlim, maybe not tzlim. Whatever you think the words derech bishul conjure up, and whatever you think is excluded from that model of derech bishul. But when all the dust settles, once a derech bishul b'chol was done to the meat, the basar became osur. And now the name of the isur is the basar shavoy. It happens to be there's cholov in there. I'll tell you a secret. It happens to be maybe there's no cholov in there right now, but there was cholov in there. And a ma'aseh bishul was chal. Ma'aseh bishul created the isur on the basar. Not all that different, Rabbi Yisai, than a ma'aseh of neveila. Once a ma'aseh neveila happens, say an animal gets shot, an animal gets shechted improperly. Once a ma'aseh menavel of the hema takes place. So the yisur losochlu from the veila is chal. The yisur on the basar and the veila is taifes, and there's nothing that can do to unravel that. Once the yisur and the veila is chal, there's no veila is chal. I mean, sure, if it becomes anyru leger, that's cheating. That's not what I'm talking about. But once the yisur and the veila is chal, it's over, finished. It's taifes on it, ashamed of the veila, the name veila is also. So that's exactly what happened to bas b'cholov. Once you did a maisa of bishul bas b'cholov, that creates an isur on the basar, and now that isur exists independent of the cholov. So that's a fundamental question, a very, very doctor-stickular question. It means, what exactly is the etzem, the lumbus of bas b'cholov? Is bas b'cholov the isur al shame the basar b'cholov biyachad, b'bas achas, b'ashehu sham, b'shas achilas of bas b'cholov, I am partaking of basar b'cholov, shen is bash b'biyachad? Or no? Once the Maisa Bishul happened, once the Maisa HaTarevis happened, once it met the conditions of the Pozbos Vakhli B'chlovimai, and Isser was Teifes on the Basar, and that Isser is going to remain Yerim Void, irrespective of whether the Chol is still here anymore. So that's a fundamental question. It comes to Rad in a warm, warm Rad that we're not going to read the whole Rad together. We don't have time. We're regular days to read a couple of Jun's Rad, but in the warm, warm Rad, that's exactly the shit. Is what is the lomdus? What is the nature of the Issa Bos B'chol? Is the Issa Nikra Al-Shem the Bos B'chol of the Yachad? Or is the Issa Nikra Al-Shem the Bos B'chol provided that a nice official B'chol at one time preceded it? Who cares? What's the difference? I might have to hear. So comes the Ran and elaborating upon our sugya and says there are conceptually two nafkaminas. There are potentially two nafkaminas to the same shaila. What are the two nafkaminas? So nafkamina number one is as follows. I cooked together basar b'cholov, and it was derech bishul, and there was nesin estam, derech bishul sotera, and the rabbi said, you have a problem with basar b'cholov in front of you. Right now, this piece is nesem shel basar b'cholov. I'm going to go to the laboratory, and I'm going to figure out an unbelievable way, a kunz, a scientific revelation. I'm going to figure out a way to extract the cholov from the basar. I'm going to pull off a stunt, unheard of. I'm going to extract the cholov from the basar. Now, I'm not even going to tell you yet how much cholov I'm going to extract. Do I mean I'm going to get every last molecule out? Do I mean that I'm going to get it to dip beneath the point of nosein tam, which maybe halachically is like getting every molecule? I don't know yet. I'm not sure how good my lab is going to work. But I got big plans for now. I'm going to get rid of this cholov. Let's make it easy. I'm going to get rid of every last amount. It's going to be cholovless. Even, you know, when you see the things that take the allergy warnings, there may be dairy in there. There may be an 0.0% allergy warning. I'm going to get even beneath that. Even the lactose intolerant people are going to tell me there's nothing in there. There's no dairy key. Who's there? Not a masha, not a tikkun minayam, not a kosher, not a molecule, not a nothing of dairy. I'm going to do that again. Unbelievable, amazing lab. Teramada, afternoon say. I'm going to get it all done. Does that make the slightest bit of difference in halacha? Did I permit that food to be eaten or not? What do you think? Guys can talk up, by the way. Shrooms, man. So what do you think? What should it depend on? Everybody say, no. What does it depend on?
Achakira.
Great guess. Achakira. Okay, good. Could have played good better. Okay. Yeah.
No, that if I sit down. What?
You can say it, Zach. If you hold what?
If you hold the first word, that it's the Isra of Taroves, so now that the milk's not there anymore, so it'll be fine. But if you say that once that you have the Maisa Taroves of the milk coming in, and now it's no longer there, so the Basar itself is still Usher, so it'll still be no good.
Oh, perfect. Okay, good. Excellent. So, how would I run? Zach's 100% correct. How would I run this experiment? How am I going to do this? What great, unbelievable mechanism do I have to get rid of the cholov? So the answer is really, really simple. I take that piece of meat that was cooked with milk, and right now it's nice and tam. I throw it into a pot of 20 million times a piece of meat in there. And what's going to happen? All the milk is going to get out. It's all going to diffuse in throughout the entire pot. And now I'm going to have maybe zero milk left in the original piece. Maybe that, I can't say for certain, but definitely been nice and down. There's no question about it. Because as we all know, the ABCs of your day, once I start to cook things together, things start to spread. I don't remember a term we even made up a few months ago, universal something or other. What was that term? I forgot.
Universal distribution.
Yeah, we made it up. Good. Sounds good, Baruch. Okay, good, good. Good to have you back. So universal distribution. The bottom line is I'm going to have a minuscule amount of cholov any in this piece of meat. So that's the best case. I don't even have to run such a high-tech lab. I just need a big kitchen. I need a big pot. So I take my little piece of meat that I had in the sinus down cholov an hour ago, throw it into a huge, camp-sized pot of cholent, and I'm good to go. And now I want to know, can I eat that piece of meat or not? So Rabbi said,
the same amount of cholov still exists. The cholov didn't go, it didn't leave. It's still there.
It's there, well, it's spread out. An awful lot of it spread all over the place. And that was so, it got all universally distributed. So presumably, the ABCs of your day are, I'm not going to have the time of the cholov in that piece of meat anymore. Unless you're arguing with the facts. Jeremy may be arguing and saying, maybe my universal distribution theory happens not to be right here. But don't argue with me yet on that. I'll give you about 5 minutes to take me on that. All right? So let's assume that the lab facts are right now. I just got that piece of meat to dip the meat to pour. There's no more cholov. So can I eat the piece of meat or not? So everybody say, what's the name of that shayla? Give me the two words for that shayla. No, I didn't say whether I'm allowed to do what I just did. Tell me the name of that shayla. Am I allowed to eat this piece of meat or not? Give me the two words to describe that shayla. Either yes or no. Good guess. The name of the sugya. Efshul Sochta. That's what Efshul Sochta means. Efshul Sochta means literally, Schita means to squeeze out. Efshul Sochta Mutter, Efshul Sochta Yasser. Can I squeeze out the liquid? Can I squeeze out the milk? And do I say that I can and therefore it's Mutter? Do I say sorry, even though it's Efshul Sochta, it's too much, so it doesn't matter. So comes around and says that is Gufa the Kudas Amachlekis the Gibbon. Markwitz Machlekis Amarayim. Half the Amarayim held. The end of the first of the Ma'amakim is two lines. In the bottom, Rav, Rabbi Chini, Rabbi Yechin, Amri, Efshul Sechta, Osir, Shmuel, Rabbi Shim, Barev, Yishlach, Yishlach, Efshul Sechta, Mutter. The Hila Gamarot, the daily Amirayim, it's a 3-on-3. You're going to be Machriya between Rav against Shmuel, Rabbi Chini against Rabbi Shim, Shim, Barev, Yishlach, Rabbi Yechin, and they're all colleagues of each other, all bapums of each other. The Hila, six of these are the first generation Amirayim, the six greatest Gedolei Olam. This crossed country lines, and I'm running from Eretz Yisrael fighting about this, and I'm running from Eretz Yisrael, from Buffalo fighting about this. Everybody got into the picture. This was the hottest topic, first generation of Amarayim. Efshul Sochto, Mut Efshul Sochto, also says the Ran, this is not a machlekes of culinary arts. This is a machlekes in Lomdus. This is the ABCs of Bas Mechalov. Is Bas Mechalov Azoy? Is Bas Mechalov Azoy? Is that said correctly? The Bas Mechalov is an Isser on the Bas Vichalov Shavoy. Efshul Sochto is the Bas Mechalov is an Isser on the Bas Shavoy, the Efshul Sechta is also. So that's Daf Kamini number one to Echakira. Everybody say what's Daf Kamini number two? Who's got an idea what's Daf Kamini number two? Who's got me? Not Daf Kamini number two. But the Isser is Nikra Hashem, the Bas Vichalov Shavoy, or the Isser is Nikra just Hashem, the Bas Shavoy?
Are there a Mishar, the Shishim, can I get the entire piece, or just the Isser, or just the milk?
Ooh, okay, so you're already 10 steps ahead of us. Let's leave out that for a minute. Let's put ourselves back in the Rabbi Huda world. Of Mindamino. I just gave it away.
Milk is meat is Enumino and meat is Mino.
So what if I have a chaticha, a Bas Mechalov in front of me? And now that chaticha itself is giving off bleels to other meats. How does the halacha kaveya what's in front of me right now? What is that? What eyes do I look at? What glasses do I put on to determine when I have bleels emanating from chaticha A into a whole series of 25 other chatichas? Do I look at it through the eyes of min b'mino but I look at it through the eyes of Mimish Enomino. So if I look, let's walk it through a place. If I hold that the nature of Basar B'Cholav is the Isser is the Basar and the Cholav, and presence of Cholav is critical for an Isser of Basar B'Cholav to be present, so the Cholav is a chelek of the Etzma Isser, so then I cannot look at it through the eyes of Mimbamino in a Bakdel, because it's not really Mimbamino. Because Cholav vis-a-vis Basar is not Mimbamino. So I have to look at it, I have to judge it through the looking at it through the eyes of Mimbishena Mina. But if I'm willing to say the second side of the Chakira, that the Isser is Nikra Shem the Basar Shabo, and the Cholav is just a Ketimsa to get me there. It was just a prerequisite necessary for the Yisr to be Chal. But once the Yisr is Chal, it's Chal the Torah, the Basar Shabbat. And the Cholav is really not existent, not relevant at all. Proof positive, I can have an Yisr the Reis of Basar Cholav, but no Cholav here anymore. Because it's actual Sech the Mukta, Ram recorded that in. So if you hold if the Yisr is Nikosh in the Basar Shabbat, so then when I now want to evaluate whether this new Taroides is Nikra al Shame, the dinim of Mimino or Mimishem, what's the answer, Rabbi Say? How do I look at that second Taroides? What is it, Rabbi Say? Tell me, what is it?
Mimino.
If the answer is only Nikra al Shame, the Basar Shabbat, this is Mimino. Now again, if your name happens not to be Rabbi Yehuda or Rav, so then you're probably not too interested in the Shir right now. Because if you don't hold Mimino in a Bogdel, so who cares what you call? It's all going to have the same rules anyway. But if you just happen to be Rabbi Huda, or you happen to be Rav, who happens to be the one who's appearing in Asugya, and you think that Mimbamino in Abotel, this is a huge Nafkamina. This is a world of Nafkamina. Because this is going to make or break the entire second Taravis. Because if you hold Mimbamino in Abotel, and you're getting labeled this as Mimbamino, so that's going to spell disaster for the second half of the Taravis. So that's another Nafkamina from the same Chakir. So by side, again, what are we learning here? We're just learning basic ABCs, but it's like the first day of Shia Basim Chol, right? Basic ABCs, how to tie Shia Basim Cholish. No Savasha Gedi B'Cholavimo, namely, it's also when there's Gedi B'Cholav. What do I say? No Savasha Gedi, the Gedi is also, even at one point in the past, 20 years, there was Cholavimo in it, but now the Yisra is Nikoshim the Gedi. So if you hold one way, that's going to impact the Neshul Sechdo, it's going to impact on whether you say Nimino in a Bota. If you go the other way, it's going to have an entirely different approach to both those two shadows. The boy say, we named the phrase, we identified the phrase to describe the quote unquote squeezing out of the milk. What was that called again, the boy say? Efshel Usechbe. Name the halachic phrase of Nafkamina number two. Whether you think that the Isra is Nikra Hashem, the Basar, and therefore the Basar wreaks havoc in Mimbamino and Abotel, why say, nah, the Isra is Nikra Hashem, the Basar, the Chol B'Yachad, and therefore it doesn't wreak any havoc, there's no problem, it's not Mimbamino and Abotel. Namely, the halachic phrase that encapsulates that principle. What is it? What do you call that? The three-word phrase to encapsulate the second Nafkamina. The first Nafkamina was encapsulated by the phrase of Efshel Sechta. The second Nafkamina is encapsulated by what phrase, everybody say?
Chavichanasas Nevela.
That is Chavichanasas Nevela. Good, Avi. That is Chavichanasas Nevela. If you hold that the Bossa becomes Osir, so then the Bossa becomes a Shtik Nevela, and the Osir is Torah Chatichas Kulon because Bibimina Rebota. But if you hold that Chavichanasas Nevela, what that means is, that the Issa was not Nikra Hashem the Basar, the Issa was Nikra Hashem the Cholav, and if the Issa was Nikra Hashem the Cholav, that's Takanat Chatichinasas the Beva. Okay? So, Rosa, give me just one second, okay? Just have to stop one thing. Give me, hold on for a minute. Okay, good. So Rabbi said, it's Chazim, we're up to. So we have a fundamental Chakira, what the nature of Basar B'Cholav is all about. We have two Nafkaminas, and we even put halachic terms in both those Nafkaminas. One is Efshel Sechdo, and number two is Chatichanas Nevela. We had obviously the Chatichanas Nevela seems to only be relevant if you buy into Rabbi Yehuda and the Bino Bokla. If not, then we have to readdress whether the second Nafkamina is even relevant. So Rabbi said, it should seem intuitively obvious from now that these two shaylos are mamish totally zebizeh. They are so totally zebizeh. They are so impossible to separate one from another because the two issues, whether you accept Eshel Softa also, when you accept Nichlas Nevela, are so identical, so married to one another, it is inconceivable to hold one way, and the other way. It's just can't be the mamish identical shaylos. Everyone realize that everybody said that the two shaylos are so interlinked, so connected to one another. So let's read the Gemara now and see what the Gemara says about the interconnection between these two sugyas. So the Gemara starts off, let's go back to the beginning again. Amar Rav, first time I came, is Kemishas and Tamich Haticha, Tichas Tasa, Dreva, Yases Matech Skosha. So Rav is addressing issue number two, and he subscribed to Haticha Nas Dreva, which we plug into what Rav means by saying that is the longest must be that the Bosser is the name of the game. The Chalv is irrelevant at this point. The Chalv was only needed as a prerequisite to get the Bosser. Once with the Bosser takes on a life of its own. So Rav's committing himself to that. And therefore, it is intuitively obvious that Rav must hold what? What must Rav also hold by definition? What must he hold? Eshel Softa, also a mutter.
Also,
no question about it. Must hold also. So let's read the Gemara. Let's skip down the first Gemara Mekamos, four lines down from the top to the end of the line. Umaykasov. What does Rav hold? Ikasov Eshel Softa mutter. If he holds Eshel Softa's mutter, Hatichamanas is the mutter. Who's going to give me taich in that one? Who's going to just translate that one to me? I'm open for. I want you just, you're writing an art school Gemara, you're saying a daf yomi shir. I just want you to explain to me that line, the Gemara, just add in the quirk of lumbus. Who's going to explain this to me? If you're Eshel Softa Mutter, what does that mean? That means, what do you subscribe to? That the Isser is al shem what?
Tarov Eshabal.
The Tarov is the Bosser and the Chalav together. So, Tarov, Chatichim Anas Nevela. So, how dare you say Chatichim Anas Nevela? That's exactly what you're saying, right? But great. And look at Sava. It must be the only way to explain Rav is Eshel Sechte Yasser. And Abba Zoy did Eshel Sechte Yasser. Here for what? If Eshel Sechte Yasser, then the Lomdus is the Yisra is Dikah, I'll shame the what, Rabbi say? I'll shame
the Basser.
The Basser Shabbat. Which would talk would be really nice to explain what Kichnas is the Nefeila. Everything's hunky-dory. Everything's good. And guess what? Not only are we writing Lomdus both, every once in a while we're even writing in terms of textual, namely, Baruch Hashem, we're good to go. Rav is Lashitasa. Rav, who took a stand with the other two Amoroi and the other two colleagues of his, and Eshel Softa Zosar, is Lashitasa, the Chitlas Nevela. It's all part of the same Chakir, and then Shalom Yisrael. Everything's good, right? I thought, who here thinks everything's good? I thought everything's good. Great, that was great. The Gemara actually identifies the Chakirin effect between the lines, but connecting to the issues of the Gemara, in a sense, it's completely tough to explain. What could be better than that, than the Gemara actually is calling the Chakirin? So Rabbi Yisai, the Ran was not happy. And to give you an idea as to how not happy the Ran is, look at the size of the Ran, how unhappy he is. And I only took a snip of the Ran. What's bothering the Ran? It was so perfect. It's beautiful. I couldn't get a better first day of Jum's man. The Gemara is so beautiful. You know what's bothering the Ran?
Why the other three disagree? The other three.
They're entitled to their Rashidas. They're entitled to their other understanding of Basmachalov. I'm going to quote Lahavil Elif of Dolls. It's an old Yiddish phrase. Okay? And I don't mean it at all in an inappropriate way, but we'll understand. I'm quoting this as a Yiddish phrase. I took Yiddish in my first year in college of life. I think Yiddish is a foreign language. Like today, it was very foreign language. Who here knows a little Yiddish? Who knows what phrase I'm talking about? It starts with the words Dikala. Anyone know? Mr. Author, come on. You gotta remember. Dr. Berman, come on.
Not a Yiddish.
What? Dikala is too shame. You ever heard that phrase? You ever heard that phrase? It's a phrase that says the cow looks too nice. That's what the phrase is. She looks too pretty. She looks too nice. The cow is too shame. The phrase is a phrase that sometimes something is too good. And there's got to be a problem. Something's got to be wrong. It's too glock. It's too mishka. Something is wrong. Life is not perfect. What's bothering the Rambam is as follows. That if we are so smart and we are so accurate in identifying that these two issues are so hayuach, then why did the Gemara even waste our time discussing it? The Gemara starts off by saying, what to analyze, Rav? If Rav holds that Efshel Sofka's mutter, that's cause for concern. If you hold Efshel Sofka mutter, wait a second, let's stop and think it through 100 times. If Rav happened to hold Efshel Sofka mutter, it would be bizarre that he would be the one to hold Chatich Nasas Neveila. Baruch Hashem, Rav is the one who holds Efshel Sofka also. Says the Ran, that is not a proper flow. That's like saying as follows, says the Ran. Since these two issues are so totally zebizeh, I'll give you a motion. Rather, I'll give you a motion. It's like saying, if you hold that you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, so how could you not say you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos? I mean, you just said the same thing. The Gemara is identifying the possibility of a discussion. If the Gemara is opening up an Ika Sofa is already room for maneuvering. It means it could be Efshel Sofka's mutter, and it could be maybe still Afa Pichin Chitchas Las Neveilot, but it doesn't sound that way. For the fact that the Gemara is asking with a question mark, it's good to have, punctuation marks in the Gemara that we just put in, very loud, put in for good luck. The Gemara is asking as a question, it sounds like we're entertaining the question as a question. It means it's not absolute dead giveaway that these two things are totally separate. It just looks to us, if you hold Efshel Sofka mutter, the man says, I don't know if everything we said is true, so it's too shame. It's the same thing. What's the point of even asking the question? It's why you're wasting the time discussing. If you hold A, then you most probably hold B. What do you mean you most probably hold B? A is B. A is identical to B. The issues of Efshel Sofka and the issues of Chitchas Neveila are so close, are so wedded to one another, it is silly, it is foolish to even ask the question, well, if I hold A, how about I hold B? What if A and B is the same thing? There is no A and B. It's the same Shaila. The same Shaila is what's the Bas Mechalim, what's the Yisrael Shem, what's the Bas Mechalim, what's the Yisrael Shem, what's the Yisrael Shem. That's what's bothering you, right? The Kaal is too shame. The Tzli is a two portrait. It's so partial that the three is the only Zebizet, but why did we even entertain as a discussion? Maybe it could have been about little Achlek like to say they're not only Zebizet. It's partial that they're only Zebizet. That was the gist of the Ran's cash. That's what got the Ran on a 40-line tirade against the civil ring of the Gemara. So here we started out, we were so happy. The two sugyas were so totally Zebizet, we overdid it. We're guilty of that terrible violation. We're overkill. We made the two sugyas too close to one another. Now the Ran says we have to pull back. And we have to create the following model. That it is possible, I didn't say correct, says the Ran. It is possible that Efshel Sofka's mutter and Chatichas Nasas Neveila. I have to open up a third logical possibility. That Efshel Sofka is taka mutter, the afa pichein Chatichas Nasas Neveila. Why do I have to create that model? To enable the Gemara to reject it. To enable the Gemara's question to at least be addressing something that was in the realm of logical possibility. So all of a sudden, the Rav just now, because he was so bothered with his kasha that the two sugyas are so identical, that he's forcing us to rethink and to open up option C. I thought the tables were closed, either option A or option B, either you're into the boss or into the both. Either one, that's option C. One could theoretically walk this tightrope of Efshel Sofka mutter, the Afa Pichein, Chaticha is Nasas Neveila. It could be that option. And that's what the Gemara said, no, most probably not. Not absolutely, definitely, impossible, illogical, but when the Gemara's question was, it was like, most probably not. So we have to all of a sudden create, it's a little, depressing, because we're going to have to create a model. We're going to have to rack our brain to create a long just to create this third model, knowing full well that the entire goal of creating this model is to do what? Is to?
Reject it. He's just saying a Havamina? He's trying to find the Havamina?
It's not even a Havamina. It's to give some degree of credibility of the Gemara's discussion. Why is the Gemara even wasting our time with the discussion? If the Gemara is asking a question that shows that the possibility exists that the Gemara is rejecting, so this is very depressing. We have to rack our brains. It may take us 20 minutes to create this Havamina. I can't call it Havamina. Create this model only to do what with it? Pop the balloon before we even get started. That's the goal of this round. So everybody say, don't be defeatist. Don't be misyayish. Don't think we're wasting our time. For two reasons. First of all, because the Hail of Iran is forcing us to do that. He's even holding our hands and help us create that model. And even though it's true that this model is going to self-destruct, touch the deeper of getting created, we're going to be able to take some of those, some of the yesodos that will work into creating that model, and may, believe it or not, become very, very relevant for us. So, Kachi Daka Shatayra. Recorded the Rashi Sukkot very often. Very often you have a shita. The shita is rejected. It's not accepted. But there's an ounce of truth in that shita that is accepted. There's a whole pound of truth in that shita. But there's an ounce that becomes relevant. So in this new model of the Ram, the walking the tightrope that we know that we're not going to make it to the other side. We know we're going to be pushed over the cliff in a second. So we know this is not going to be a viable Havamina, a viable possibility. But we have to create viable enough to justify the Gemara's discussing it. And once we do that, we're going to take some of that viable principles and apply it to places that we do want it. That's the Mahalach now. That's the train of thought that the Ran is now taking us on. So if I say, let's look for that model. So the model has to have two conditions to it. We have to really believe that Efshel Sochto is Mutter. And turn around with a straight face and say, yeah, 100%. Anyway, first glance, absurd. That's why we have a second glance. They say, I'm going to play a little devil's advocate here. I really believe in the world of Lomdus, Eshel Sochto's Mutter. I don't personally believe that, but a lot of great people did. And therefore, if you could run this experiment, put it to the lab, and actually be convinced that you got out the tab, you're good to go. That's in the perfect world of Lomdus. Just in case no one noticed yet in the Derech HaLimud, the perfect world of Lomdus doesn't always line up with what's going on the ground. You have to first create your, theoretical structures, and then you have to try to figure out how is this going to play out l'maisa. Remember, Rabbi Taubes told us, and I have quoted this before, several times, he said, in his many, many years of experience as a principal, so he said that usually in the summers, they spend months planning every nuance, all the perfect lumdus and the philosophy and the education and the, every model and discipline and everything and how exactly it's going to play out in the perfect world. And then the first day comes and everything gets thrown off. You know what the first day is? Then the students come, the talmidim come. So now you have to take all that perfect lumdus and figure out, okay, tachlis, how is any of that going to work out when you have real-life students sitting in front of you? In many, many other areas, that's the way the world works. You have to first create, you have to understand what the model is. If you don't create the model in theory, then you have no way to be able to put it into practice. So, the model is Efshel Sochto Mutter. If we really can get out every last drop, or whatever that means, every drop, but whatever the halachic necessity of drops are, if we can really get it out, then we're good to go. That means we believe among us that Bas B'chol is only us and Kos Manas Chol Shabbat. If the Chol has been removed, then we're good to go. So we run the experiment. Remember, what was the experiment? Who remembers the experiment? It's not an experiment. We take the piece of meat and we throw it into a huge, huge, huge pot. There's a problem. what is the potential flaw in that experiment? You took a piece of meat, small piece of meat, threw into a huge chilling pot, fairly confident that universal distribution is going to take place, and therefore we're not going to have any more milk in, and then we're going to be able to plug in a halakhic principle called Efshel Seuch Tamuta, right? That was the goal. Anyone see a possible flaw? Some quirk that could go wrong? What would go wrong with that action? Took a piece of meat with milk in it, threw it into a big pot. Everybody knows that it's going to spread universally. Everyone knows uniformly. Everyone knows that's going to happen, right? Until you do what? Until you actually try it. I'll tell you a secret. It could be, I don't know enough about the fusion of the molecules, but it could be that the milk that's balua to the first piece may not spread as uniformly as we thought it does. We may be in for a surprise. I think it's fair to say after the last couple of months, the spreading of different kinds of things, we've been in for a lot of surprises. We're not quite sure how certain things spread in this world. We think, we guess, but we're still not 100% sure. So our guess, our initial guess is that this milk was going to spread really, really well and thereby save the first piece, and we're going to have to hide behind halachli efshel seuch tamutar, but we may be in for a surprise. And it's possible that when I yank out that first piece of meat out of the huge chilling pot, what may I have in there that I'm not too happy with? I may still have what?
Milk.
I may still have milk in there. I may still have an awful lot of milk, much more than I expected. And if I have to test that milk somehow, I may be in for a big disappointment. So, yes, it's true, Efshel Seuch Tamuta, 100%. 1,000 Efshel Seuch Tamuta, 100%. In Lombus, in the Bispanish, Efshel Seuch Tamuta. But in the kitchen, Efshel Seuch Tamuta may end up practically being what? Maybe also, because I may not have gotten out enough of that milk. So Efshel Seuch Tamuta is great in the world of theory, but may fail us miserable in the realm of practice. That's the beginning of the Ran's Model C. Theoretically good, practically no good. If we would subscribe to such a shita that Efshel Seuch Tamuta theoretically mutter but practically aser, what would such a shita think about Chatich Nasas Daveilu? What do you think about that? Assuming that Model C is the correct one, which between you and me is not going to last for more than about 10 seconds, but Model C, I just created a model for you. The Efshel Seuch Tamuta theoretically, but practically also, how would that now weigh in Bizvichtich Nasdavet? What do you think? Do you have any ideas?
Based on the Chakir I made before, I would say there would be no Hanan, because Efshel Seuch Tamuta, you know, it's the same lavdos, it's just again just a practical thing.
Oh, so Barak is a very lavdish guy, right? Because he's a what is he again? I don't know what he is. Mad, something radika. Is that one of those things we still haven't figured out what Barak's doing? We're gonna be making fun of Barak's major for like the next 20 years or so. Okay? So Barak is a very lavdish analytical kind of a guy. And he says, listen, I don't care whether you can eat this piece of meat. What I care is what's the name of the Yisr? And so if the name of the Lomdish Isser is X, so then that's not Mindamino in a bottle. So if you really believe Efshel Seuch Tamuta, that means you really believe that the Isser is Nikol Shem Nechom Shabon, so then Chaticha Atzma really should be the Vela. Could one argue with Barak? I need a more practical down to it. Give me a guy who's majoring in, give me a guy that counted or something. Give me a guy who's going to, give me a pre-med guy. Come on, a guy's going to take care of patients today. Dr. Berman, we need you for this one. A real medical guy. Someone who's on the field. Not someone who's sitting around in the lab and saying svaras and love. The guy's got, Dr. Berman's ready. He's dressed in scrubs. He's seeing patients. He's not philosophizing about COVID. He's seeing the real thing, right? Hopefully not too much of the real thing these days. So as a practical kind of a guy, I can hear somebody arguing with Barak and say, no, wait a second. But Rabbi, push comes to shove, I can't eat the meat. I can't eat this meat. I can't eat the meat right now. You can't eat the meat. So then we're basically saying the meat's strength. Ooh, the meat streif. What is that subject to? What rook we plug into the meat streif? That's a potential candidate for what terrible principle called?
In shemino.
That's called chetichnas nevelo. I imi b'mino in a bottle. So the mechidas kavra. I can hear, depending on whether you're a theoretical kind of guy, whether you're a practical kind of guy, what you're going to think about this model number C, well, letter number C. So before the Ron introduced letter number C onto the list, I was the practical and the oneness were the same team. If you, the oneness held one way, then you practically concluded that way, and therefore you held X and X is less than the neighbor. If you practically held the other way, and oneness held the other way, then you concluded Y and X is the neighbor. But the Ron is opening up the possibility for us of oneness going in one direction and halacha like the other. It's a big problem. We have Rashim saying one thing and the Shuram is saying something else. That does not lead to a good conclusion in Jewish community life. We know that. But that's exactly what's happening in this Ron. Who here read this Ron? Who here realized what's going on in the Ron is the fight between Rashim and the rabbi? That Rashim is saying Azoy, Barak saying Azoy, that the Rebbe is saying Azoy, saying Fakirat. And now we have to be Mechriya. Is this kind of a model number C, where theoretically is X, but practically is Y, can we apply Chesed Nidah to that or not? That's the Ron's breakthrough in the Sidurism. So we have to see Mitzvah tomorrow about where that breakthrough takes us and how that breakthrough, although it's going to be popped, this balloon is going to be popped so fast, but some of the nuclear fallout from this explosion are going to be critical. We're going to take some of those particles and reuse them where we want them, and they're going to potentially alter your idea. They're going to make it into Shulchan Aruch, the fallout from this explosion. We've got a lot of work to do. So my side, basic Chazara, so we have is, we just read the Gemara, that's all. We read Rav's statement. We identified quickly the principle of Eshul Sochto, the principle of Nasdeva. What our initial reaction was, that the two shadows are totally Zebizah. The Ron's observation that the two totally Zebizah, that caused a problem. The sugya was too perfect, and the Ron can't tolerate a too perfect sugya, because it was so perfect, why did the Gemara entertain even a question mark? The Gemara shouldn't have wasted our time. So the answer is, says the Ron, there must be a third category, and the Ron began to develop it for us, and we are already sensitive to the Barak, like the Berman, the nuances, in terms of where does that third category take us. Hopefully, that's we're going to finish plugging this into the Gemara tomorrow, and then see how far this goes with us outside the city as well. Okay, so should we, I guess we'll put this on a new recording, Shimon.